What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
Hey folks, Mitch LaFon here. You are listening to Playlist Wars, and let the battle begin.
Welcome to Playlist Wars, everybody. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Gomez, and I do have my partner in crime, Brian Colburn, with us. And also, we do have a very, very special guest from our Patreon account, Tim McKay. Welcome, everybody.
What's up? What's up?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure's ours, Tim. We're excited about this. This is something new for us. We first want to thank you for being one of our Playlist Master Tier subscribers at patreon.com/playlistwars. For those of you who are not Patreon subscribers, please head over to the site, check out the different tiers, and join us. It really means the world to Gomez and I. And tonight, we're breaking new ground on Playlist Wars. And Tim, you're the lucky guinea pig, guest for the...
Wow.
Obviously, I'm totally joking. But look, this is the first time we're trying this type of episode, and it's really a gamble, because if you think about it, we normally pull from a sample size of a band's entire catalog.
Yeah.
Or even bigger, when it's a topic, it could be an endless number of bands' catalogs. But tonight, we're whittling it down to making a playlist from a single album. So the chances for crossovers and trifectas are completely through the roof, especially when an album has 12 songs on it.
And a bingo.
Yeah, we could be having bingos. 13, if you even think about the hidden track on the album that we're talking about tonight. But first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to our fine Patreon playlister, Tim. And Tim, I'm going to let you introduce tonight's album and let everybody know why you're excited to talk about it.
Thank you. And so we are going to be discussing Nevermind by Nirvana. I'm excited to talk about it. It's the 30th anniversary of the release of the album. When this topic was broached with me about trying to do an album, I reached out to some of my concert-going friends. So I want to shout out Patty, Kelly, and Lisa, and came up with a list of different albums to possibly do. And this was at the top of the list, and I shared it with the two of you. And it was Gomez felt like this would be a great one to start with, trying to do this type of topic. So I'm a child of the 90s. So this kind of fits my wheelhouse of kind of being in junior high, high school, and really enjoying this type of music. So it's a perfect album to talk about. There's so much going on there, and it really defined our generation.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, like Tim said, tonight our topic is Nirvana's Nevermind. And we've each created a playlist with our top four favorite songs from the album. So let's tonight think of this as a 2LP set of your favorite tracks, side A, side B, side C, and side D. So, like our full-length episodes, none of the picks have been shared between the three of us prior to now. Throughout the episode, we're each going to reveal our side A's through side D's one by one and craft what we each feel is the perfect Nevermind playlist. After the episode, we turn it over to you, the amazing playlisters, to vote at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com to decide once and for all which one of us got it right. And while you're at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com, you can also listen to each one of our playlists, just in case you want to quote-unquote hear where we're coming from with our choices. Now, unlike full-length shows, given the small sample size we're dealing with here, these episodes are not going to have honorable mentions, because I'm sure, given how much the albums in this series mean to us, any of the songs that we're not picking are probably an honorable mention as it is. So with that being said, I usually hand it off to our guests with the equivalent of a dad joke or a pun, but for tonight's episode, never mind.
Sorry, I couldn't resist when you just said that.
Tim, why don't you lead us off with your side A pick?
So here we are now, entertain us.
That's I like the way you think.
Yes. I'm, as a father of three, I know all of the dad jokes. So.
Oh, you're right in our wheelhouse.
So for my side A, I will go out, maybe not on a limb, but I feel like this is going to be a trifecta. I feel like we're going to, I'll even go so far as to say, I think this is going to be everyone's side A. So this was recently in 2021 in the Rolling Stone top 500 songs of all time. It was number 5 on that list. It's the song that defined a generation. It revolutionized music in the 90s. And my side A is Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Awesome, awesome pick. First of all, that's actually my first pick too, actually. I truly love this song. I was debating the last couple of nights if I was going to keep this in my list because I used it in one of our episodes where I talked very highly about it.
Our Songs of 1991 episode, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And you know, and of course, I think of two things that pop in my head, of course. First of all, I got to give a little shout out to Lauren from the Beard Owl podcast because Weird Al came up to Kurt Cobain and asked if he could actually use the song to do a parody in which he got Smells Like Nirvana. And Cobain gave him permission very quickly. The only thing he asked if there was any food in it, and he said no, no, no. So, of course, you know, that's always been a big hit with Weird Al. And again, thank you, Lauren. And then it was in the Muppets movie where they had the quartet with Jack Black in there. And, you know, you got Beaker, the eagle. It was actually a great little scene, and it's one of my daughter's favorite scenes, too.
me.
So, again, perfect track. That's my number one, too. Brian, what do you got?
Well, gentlemen, we're kicking off playlist and album with a bingo.
Holy shnikes.
A rare thing in Playlist Wars history right now, the only one ever, is the Ultimate Warrior.
Yes.
In our wrestling episode, and now we have a bingo in our first playlist and album episode. So a special way to start. Look, the song reached number 6 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, but that doesn't really matter. It's the song that introduced me to Nirvana. I did not know them when they were on Sub Pop and Bleach. I had to go backwards after getting Nevermind. So I would not be honest with myself if I didn't include this as my track one. And let's be honest, as big of a hit as it's become, that it's almost become cliche at this point, none of that takes away from the fact that this song, at its core, still kicks ass. Period. Cover songs? I know you mentioned our friend Lauren at the Beard Owl podcast and the Muppets, but Tori Amos covers the song on her Crucify single. If you haven't heard her version, it's very interesting and very, very worth checking out. So just like that, side A is out of the way. We're going to flip it over. Tim, let's hear your side B.
All right. My side B was the 4th and final single from Nevermind. It won Best Alternative Video at the 1993 MTV Video Music Awards. I am going to pick In Bloom.
Great song. And also great music video, too. I do like that song, but it didn't make my list. So I apologize. But at least we got a bingo off the first one.
Unfortunately, In Bloom didn't make my list either, but again, I love Nevermind. Believe it or not, my favorite Nirvana album is Bleach, but Nevermind and Incesticide are right there together, vying for my second favorite album, and I don't dislike any songs on it. I just lean more towards the punk. Well, instead of me even saying that, Gomez, why don't we go for you for your side B, because there's only 12 songs to pick from. So now I'm curious, because neither one of us picked it. I just want to move on here.
No worries. Well, I went with something a little different. Something in the Way. Truly good, deep song. You know, it's slow. And I hear, you know, that song in my head constantly because of a couple of movies, actually. The 2005 film Jarhead with, I forgot the name of the actor.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Thank you, Jake Gyllenhaal. For some reason, I was going to say Maggie Gyllenhaal, his sister, but
they would have been a different movie.
No, but you know why? Because I actually have in the notes that it was actually used for the first time after appearing in a superhero film that's coming out, The New Batman. And it was used in the trailer, actually, for the very first trailer, too. So
yeah,
it kind of coincides. That's why I couldn't think of the name. I was going to say Gyllenhaal, but I couldn't think of Jake or Maggie, so I messed that up pretty bad. But side B, something in the way for me.
Interesting pick. I mean, I could hear where the band was heading on In Utero in Something in the Way. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, In Utero is a solid album, but it's probably my least favorite Nirvana album. So the fact that it's kind of getting away from the punk grunge sound that you heard on Bleach, Nevermind, and Incesticide, I kind of don't gravitate to this song as much, but I don't dislike it. So I want to make that very clear. But unfortunately, it did not make my list. Tim?
It did not make my list either. I actually like the unplugged version better than the version on Nevermind.
I'd agree with that. But that's also because of the vibe around that show.
Yeah.
The unplugged is kind of a life in and of its own. I mean, man, what a great unplugged set that was, truly. Now, the song I picked for my side B is not on the Unplugged album, and while I can hear them doing it Unplugged, given the set list that Unplugged had, it would not have fit. This song was originally titled Imodium, and I am going with my side B, Breed.
Mm.
In 2015, Rolling Stone ranked Breed at number 4 on their ranking of 102 Nirvana songs. And in 2020, Kerrang ranked it at number 13 in the 20 greatest Nirvana songs. Breed has that punk energy to it, similar to what you hear on songs from Bleach. And it's aggressive. And it's definitely the chorus, what Dave Grohl is doing on the drums there. It's so driving. It's so memorable, and it's so underrated. I am shocked this was not a single, because you think about some of the songs that were put out in 1991. This would have been a massive song, I truly believe, if they released this as a single. But regardless, cover versions, there's actually several good ones. Country artist Steve Earle covered the track on his Sidetracks release, which was probably the most interesting version of it I've ever heard, because he's kind of that outlaw country sound a little bit, Copperhead Road, stuff like that. And his version is, I don't want to say faithful to the original, but it's definitely not far removed. He didn't Steve Earle it too much. So it's definitely memorable. In 2007, OTEP covered the song on their Ascension album. And in 2021, punk band The Dolly Rots did a cover of it, which was really fun. Again, very faithful to the original, but it's just a fantastic song, and I'm kind of cool with them being faithful to it. So my side B, Breed.
Good pick, Brian. Did not make my list either, but it was teetering and tottering with my list, but it just kind of teetered off of it. So, but great pick, though, man. You said a lot to that song, and I couldn't say it even better like the way you just did.
Tim?
So Breed is actually my favorite song on Nevermind. So, of course, it made my list. It is my side D to close out my 4 tracks.
Oh, awesome.
I love the energy on the song. I love the simplicity of the lyrics, the fact that it's just he's repeating chorus verse. I love the way he plays around with the wording of it, that you want to plant a house and build a tree. And so I think it's kind of a playful song. I think that the way that the lyrics on this album are kind of simple. I don't know if you guys have watched the classic albums Nevermind episode.
I haven't seen that one yet.
We should stop recording and watch it together.
Sounds like fun.
But they mention a lot in that, just the way that this album was written, that Dave Grohl mentions a lot about kind of just nursery rhymes and lullabies and how it just is very simple. In that episode as well, they mention a lot about Kurt loved John Lennon and kind of some of the lyric I could see, especially in Bloom, seems like a very Beatlesque song, but I think that also Bree, just the lyrics behind it, you could, maybe not the music, but just it's very simple and kind of one seems almost like a little goofy kind of Beatlesque song as well.
And what's interesting about the John Lennon thing that you said, originally Kurt Cobain was hesitant to double his vocal tracks, but Butch Vig was recording this album. I know for a fact that he used John Lennon's doubling of his vocals to convince Kurt Cobain to do it on Nevermind.
Yeah, that's the within Bloom, that's where they really did it. And in that Classic Albums episode, they do a cool thing where they isolate the vocals and you hear Kurt double tracking and you hear Dave Grohl doing the background double tracking. And it's really, really cool to hear that part of it.
All right, folks, we're going to pause right now to go watch Classic Albums. And then, you guys will just sit there for the next hour and then we'll be back. Stay tuned.
That's what they call a tease.
Yes, there you go. Tim, unfortunately, because this is a shorter episode and now you have had Breed along with me, yes. Gomez gets the trifecta killer there on that one. But
got the axe right here.
Yeah. We're back to you now for side C to close you out. So let's hear where you go from here.
Okay, so my side C, the song was also on the Unplugged episode as well. Very simple song. I love the perspective in it. It's an interesting perspective, the way that Kurt wrote the song. It's a very dark material, but a very simple, just him on guitar. It's an interesting background story. Side C is Polly.
Very good pick. That would be my side C too. So
wow.
I actually love this song. It's his singing of it, you know what I mean? It was so awesome. But also it was originally titled as Hitchhiker. Then for later on, maybe a year or two later, it was called Cracker. Could be a number of reasons why, but I don't know.
If it was in the Classic Albums episode, I give up. Okay.
And then Polly, I think, became the stickler because of the way he sang the song. But this is one of my favorite songs. So that's actually my C list on my track, or track C or track three, whatever you want to call it.
Side C.
Side
like
C.
I got vinyl. You know, you don't own a vinyl record player, Gomez.
I do not own a vinyl at all.
So I guess I'm taking the proverbial Playlist Wars axe and I'm killing both a trifecta and a bingo here. So I apologize. It is not on my list. I love the song, but for some reason, I love the Unplugged version more. So that was one of the ways I was able to say, well, I'm going to pull it because I found something
in the way.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. I love it. I love the way you think. So with that being said, my side C sticks with the vibe on Breed. And it is actually my favorite song on Nevermind. And I talked about this track on our 1991s episode. So I say a lot more there. But my side C is Stay Away. Originally recorded as Pay to Play, which you could find on the DGC Rarities Volume 1 CD. This song, again, takes that punky flavor that you had a lot of on Bleach and went into the Nevermind album. I absolutely love this song. It's definitely on the punkier side of their sound, along with songs like Territorial Pissings. But Stay Away is quite simply a gem of a Nirvana tune, and that is my side C.
Great pick, Brian. That's a really solid one for you. That's a great one.
Now, obviously, Tim, it didn't make your list, but I would love to hear your thoughts on the song and maybe why it didn't make your four.
So in thinking of the way I laid out my list, I kind of wanted a variety. And so Breed just stands out more than Stay Away on kind of that sort of punk component. I had to have Smells Like Teen Spirit, and then I'd like the kind of Beatlesque In Bloom kind of pop. And then I wanted the slower song in Polly, and that was my favorite slow song of Nevermind. And so I do like the song. It does have a lot of energy. It gives you some earworms that kind of stick in your head. I found myself singing along to it a lot as I was kind of reviewing Nevermind. But Breed just stands out more and is more of my favorite of that kind of, I guess, genre from this album. But it is a great song.
Awesome. Now, with that being said, Gomez, we are back to you for your side D to close it out.
So my side D, you already mentioned the song in your side C. I went with Territorial Pissings on this
nice.
One. So I actually love the beginning of this song. It was so weird. I mean, that whole beginning, and then you hear the guitar coming in, like almost like a WWE theme almost. And then they just go into like a hard punk rock song. And it's just a hardcore punk rock good song for me. And I'll tell you, the song's probably the shortest. It was like 2.5 minutes, not even 3 minutes. But it was a punching in the face. So I felt like this was a great way to do my side D. Sorry, I gotta get used to that.
Oh, we're going to do this on every playlist and album mini episode. We're going to screw it up all the time. So,
yeah. This is so new to me today.
I thought I was going to keep calling them tracks.
I'm so used to it. After 30 some odd episodes, I'm calling tracks. And I finally went back to back of opening good themes now.
Well, it's okay, because on the next full length episode, you'll be like, I'm on side F. I mean, I'm sorry. What are we?
Where are we now? Yeah,
what
probably.
What letter is this? I mentioned Territorial Pissings in Stay Away because I wanted to acknowledge I love the punky aspect of the song. Mm. But I thought if I went with Breed, Stay Away, and Territorial Pissings, I was leaning a little too heavy into the punk side, and I wanted to have a different song to close out with. So I didn't choose that one, but I absolutely love the tune. Tim?
Yeah, it's a fun song, high energy, like it. Again, just with only four, I wanted the variety, and kind of like what you were mentioning, Brian, I didn't want all kind of fast songs that I felt like I wanted more representative of all the different kind of styles and tastes that they had in the way that they wrote songs. So.
Awesome. Well, now we're up to my side D, and I'm going with one of the hits to close the album out. The song only reached number 64 on the US Billboard Hot 100, but to me, it's one of the most perfect songs on the album. And it's perfect in the way it was recorded, because the verses are quiet and the chorus is heavy. And it's something that Butch Vig pained over during the recording of the album. And I have to assume that pre-brick-walled albums, dynamics in music must have meant something, because the dynamics in Lithium are absolutely incredible. And it's the perfect example of using dynamics in a quiet to heavy fashion and doing it well. Another song I think about that follows that blueprint is What Is and What Shall Never Be by Led Zeppelin. Very quiet verses, mm-hmm. Very heavy, loud chorus. To pull that off now in the age of brick walling, it's not done anymore. And I think the spirit of that is in Lithium. I also picked this song because of that infamous MTV Video Music Awards performance where the band was supposed to play Rape Me, but MTV was pushing them to play Smells Like Teen Spirit. And in compromise, they agreed to Lithium. But when Nirvana got introduced, Kurt Cobain started with the first four chords of Rape Me, probably giving aneurysms to half of the MTV staff at the time. And then obviously, who could forget when Chris Novoselic threw the bass up in the air and it cracked him in his skull?
His skull. I was just about to say that.
Catching it with your face instead of your hands is not recommended, children.
I wonder what he was thinking when he tossed it up in the air at first. I got it. Oh, shoot. I don't got it.
He wasn't thinking at all.
Obviously.
I guarantee he looked up and one of those lights caught him right in the eye right at the wrong time. That's what I would have to think. And then all of a sudden the guitar disappears. And then next thing you know, boom.
Wasn't he playing a bass?
Yeah, that's what I said. Well, the bass guitar.
Sorry. Some people might not know that.
All right. Well, for those that don't know, the bass guitar is what he threw up in the air. Cover versions, believe it or not, there's a few.
Is there really?
Yes. The Polyphonic Spree, which we've talked about on our 90s one-hit wonder episodes, because
yes,
they were born out of the remnants of Tripping Daisy, covered Lithium on their 2006 EP Wait, And then punk band Hawthorne Heights covered the track on Come As You Are, a 20th anniversary tribute to Nirvana's Nevermind. And you can find that on Spotify as well. So my side D, obviously not either of yours, Lithium, but I would love to hear what each of you guys think of the song regardless. Gomez?
Truly great song. Again, it was one of those songs I was thinking about. Do I put it on my track list or I don't? It's just a shame what happened to Kurt Cobain. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
How he took his own life. You know, I can only imagine what the music could have been. But Nevermind will always be, you know, their baby.
Pun intended, because of the cover, right?
Yeah, I keep forgetting about the cover.
Watch out for lawsuits. You can't talk about the cover.
Yes, the cover that's not there. Tim, what are your thoughts on Lithium?
So this would have been, I guess, side E, if I had it. So I'm an occupational therapist and work in the mental health field. So I know all about lithium as a mood stabilizer for people mm-hmm. that have bipolar disorder. And so I'm also a big lyric guy. And so I love the lyrics and the way that the kind of the dichotomy within them, kind of the different, I'm so happy. And then you have the flip side of it and all the things that he's just going back and forth and kind of showing the different moods that you could have and why you would need to take lithium. And so I'm drawn to that. And I remember the video music performance and everything. And so it's in that classic albums episode, they talk about how it's kind of the song when they played in concert, people started dancing to. And it has that kind of feel, that upbeat feel for it. And I'm surprised it wasn't, you mentioned the charts, I'm surprised it didn't chart higher and wasn't
Me
more
too.
Popular.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, MTV was all over the song.
Yeah.
In my mind, it was ingrained on radio. I don't see how it was only 64. I think that's a crime. But with that being said, overall, to me, Nevermind is just a classic album. I love every song on it. And I'm actually shocked that we have one trifecta, a couple of small crossovers, but we covered a lot of the album tonight in this short little mini episode. I think this is awesome. So, Tim, why don't you lay out your Nirvana Nevermind playlist, side A through side D?
All right, so my version of Nevermind by Nirvana. Side A is Smells Like Teen Spirit. Side B, In Bloom. Side C, Polly. And closing it out, side D is Breed.
Gomez?
Side A, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Side B, Something in the Way. Side C, Polly. Side D, Territorial Pissings.
And my vision of Nirvana's Nevermind, side A, Smells Like Teen Spirit, side B, Breed, side C, Stay Away, and side D, Lithium. Three different takes on Nirvana's Nevermind, but one thing we agreed on, we have our second bingo in Playlist Wars history with Smells Like Teen Spirit. Now it's time, playlisters, to head over to PlaylistWarsPodcast.com and vote for which one of the three of us you think got it right. Tim, our fine Patreon playlister, I thank you so much for joining us, and I'm looking forward to having you back for a full-length episode very soon, because Tim is part of our playlist master tier, and we're going to be doing a full episode on the Counting Crows. I'm looking forward to diving into their catalog with you, Tim.
Yes, I'm very excited about doing that, and I also, if you give me a minute or so for a little soliloquy or monologue, whatever we want to call it, I just want to thank you guys for the work that you guys are doing with the podcast. Professionally, I work a very difficult, kind of emotionally draining job. And so being able to kind of escape through your podcast has been great for my well-being and mental health. And so I love being able to kind of follow you on the socials and sort of connect through that, and I'm grateful for the time that you guys put into doing this, and encourage anyone that really enjoys this podcast to become a patron and follow you guys on socials and really start interacting. It's a great way to connect with people. I think it's, for me, it would be very difficult to sort of throw these episodes out there and not really know who's listening or if someone is listening. And so for people to get the chance to interact with you and come on an episode, I highly recommend taking the time to do that and contributing financially so you guys can be rewarded in that way as well for the work that you do. So again, I want to thank you guys for that.
Tim, thank you so much.
I'm speechless, dude.
So am I.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Honestly, we're so thankful that you see that in the show and the way you feel like it's an escape for you. I think I'm speaking on both of mine and Gomez's behalf here. Gomez, you could tell me if I'm wrong, but to me, doing this show and talking music with you guys is kind of what we call bowling night. It's our stress relief. It's our way to relax and have some fun and kind of blow off some steam. So the fact that you and other people are gravitating to that, our goal is to build a community here. And we're so thankful for you and all the playlisters out there, whether they're Patreons or not, anyone who listens, it truly means the world to us.
Yeah, exactly, Brian. And, you know, Tim, I'm speechless myself, and I can't thank you enough for being on with Patreon with us. And we can't thank you enough for joining us tonight. And again, Brian said, we can't wait to have you on for the full episode too with Counting Crows. And this means a lot to hear that to me and Brian, because everyone has the stress in life. This is, like he said, this is our bowling light. This is my therapy. And I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I really enjoy this. I can't play music. I am not musically trained. I can't, if you hear my voice, I cannot sing. But just this component of music and my connection to music through things like this, I love. And so I'm available for whatever episode, small, large, whatever. I love doing this and being able to talk about music in this way as well. So I'm looking forward to the full length episode with Counting Crows and have many thoughts about that band and other bands and other genres and whatever. So I'm down for whatever, whenever the opportunity arises.
And it will be arising, Tim. You've been absolutely fantastic tonight, and I'm looking forward to doing it with you again. Thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you again. And I want to thank everybody, the playlisters, the Patreon account guys, everybody who's on this with us, the podcast family, Brian, who does all our editing here. Can't thank you enough. Tim, thank you again for joining us. Also, guys, check us out on patreon.com/playlistwars. As you can see, we have these tiers. And, you know, as you see, Tim's in on the master tier with us now. He's going to come on for a full show with us. Take an opportunity. Check us out. And also, don't forget to vote on playlistwarspodcast.com to see who got it right. And we will see you the next time when a new battle takes place on Playlist Wars. Good night, everybody.
You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars, on Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast, on email at playlistwars@gmail.com, or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.